Let's turn our Bibles back to Proverbs 23. And I'd like to draw your attention to verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. As you know, in our days of materialism and commercialism, many of us, including the Christians, we are caught up also in our buying. Buying of many things which we need, and buying also of things which we actually discover later we don't really need it. But such buying, as we understand from Scripture, is often driven by a spirit of pride and covetousness. And therefore, we Christians ought to be very careful. And so here in this chapter, Solomon very wisely warns us that as God's people, we ought to cultivate the spirit of self-control. And we ought also to stir ourselves up and to cultivate more and more godliness. And to learn godliness with contentment is great gain. And this should be the constant or regular pursuit of all genuine Christians at all times. The pursuit of godliness, the pursuit of holiness, that we may live our lives that will honor the name of Christ. Now, we cannot deny the fact that we Christians living in this world, we are surrounded by vendors of all sorts of things. All kinds of things. And right now, with all this online, that you can buy things online so easily at the comfort of your home. And the temptation is great. We do not deny that. There are many things that will catch our attention and tempt us to buy, and we always justify with the reason that, oh, I need this, I need that. But when we bought it, and later on we realized that we only use it once or twice, and the next thing we just put it aside. Very beautiful to look at, but we don't really use it anymore. And so the only thing in which Christian will be able to pass through Vanity Fair, as Bunyan described it, is to keep this. How we Christians should avoid or cultivate this spirit of self-control and this cultivation of godliness? To buy the truth. To buy the truth. And Solomon, after saying to buy the truth, and he adds a second advice to the text, and that is, sell it not. Sell it not. If he or she does that, he or she will, under divine guidance, find the right way to heaven. Buy the truth and sell it not. This is the subject for our afternoon study. The teaching in this text is illustrated by a well-known parable, well-known to, I suppose, to many of you here, and that is the parable of the merchant who, upon discovery that there is a pearl of great price upon that plot of land. And so what did he do? He sell all that he had, that he might buy that land and then get that pearl. So even so, the text seems to tell us that truth is that one pearl beneath the sky that is worth having, that is worth our giving up all to go and get that pearl, to purchase that pearl. And whatever else we buy not, doesn't matter. But we must buy this truth. And whatever else we may have to sell, yet we must never sell the truth, but hold it tightly, hold it fast as a treasure that will last us when gold will cankle, silver has rusted, and the moth has eaten up all the goodly garments that we have, and all the riches of man have gone like a puff of smoke or melted in the heat of on the judgment day. But keep this truth. Keep this truth. Buy the truth. Here is the treasure. What it may cost, or whatever the cost it may be, buy it, and buy it for yourself. You may give all for it. You may sacrifice all for it. You may take nothing in exchange for it, since there is nothing, nothing in this world, nothing that you can offer or give up to that can be likened to this truth. So let us now study the text in greater details. And firstly, I want all of us to notice the commodity to be purchased. The commodity to be purchased. Buy the truth. Brethren, never be afraid of the truth. Always be determined. Come what may. Even though truth may or should prove you to be a fool, prove me to be a fool, yet to accept the truth. And though it should cost you dearly, yet still, pursue it, for in the long run, they who build mere speculation, fancies and error, though they may seem to build suitable structures for the time, shall find that all their structures, all their other pursuit, or so-called truth, are just wood, hay and stubble, and shall be consumed by the fire at the last. But he that keeps to what he knows, to matters of facts, to matters of truth, this person builds up for himself or herself gold, silver, and precious stone, which the trying fire of the coming judgment shall not be able to destroy. However, and I think most of you in this congregation should know, the writer here is not referring to any kind of truth. Because there are so many things out there, and everyone is claiming that his is truth, hers is truth. But here the writer is pointing out one particular truth. He is speaking of religious truth, or we may call it gospel truth, or the truth of God's word. That's what he is having in mind. Buy that truth. Buy that truth above all other truth. Here, we have three sub-headings for this. First, buy what truth? Buy doctrinal truth. Holy Scripture is the standard of truth. The law of God to the testimony of God. They speak not according to this word, and it is because there is no truth in them. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Here it is, brethren, in this book, in the Bible. Here is an infallible witness to the truth of God. And he that is taught of the Holy Spirit to understand this truth gets the truth. Let us strive to get the right truth, the real truth, as to the matters of doctrine. Count it not a trouble, count it not a trifle, to be sound and well established in your faith, faith in God. Think no error, to be harmless, For truth is very precious, truth and error, even when we do not see to be so. Error, even though we do not see to be so, may lead the most solemn consequences of mischief. In this world, we see too much, isn't it? Not just in our days, but in many days gone by, we see too much of salvation without Christ. I mean, we meet with many who believe that they are saved because they have been baptized or confirmed or passed through the ceremonies of the church to which they belong. They may even be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And again, you know the case. Who was present at the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus? Now, these are the people who, though may have gone through the church, but they have not looked to the precious blood of Christ. They are not depending simply on the finished work of the Redeemer, but on something else than Christ. Now, therefore, for those of us who are in Christ, avoid that. By the truth which lies here. And what is the truth? One of the truth here is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 6:31. And this is gospel truth. We hear too much also nowadays of what? Regeneration without faith. Stand to it, brethren. Stand to it that it is the work of the Holy Spirit in rational and intelligent beings, leading them to hate sin and to lay hold of eternal life. And beside this false teaching of regeneration without faith, we have, on the other hand, we have some too much faith without works. Too much faith without works. A kind of faith that is preached, a kind of faith that is trusted in, which is not practical. Men say they believe, but they do not prove it by their lives. They remain in sin, and yet wrap themselves up in the belief that they are God's chosen people. Remember, and I'm sure you know this, that a faith without works is dead. The book of James teaches us that. And only the faith that changes the character, sanctifies the life, and leads man to God is the faith which will save the soul. We must see to it that in our doctrine, we bow our judgment to the teachings of Scripture and try, with God's help, to be conformed to all the revelations of God and especially to all the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we not fall into one error or another. Never mind whether you can make sense of the truth consistently, and sometimes we must confess that we cannot fully comprehend the truth. Never mind about that. Even though we may find hard to understand some of these teachings, if it is truth, if it is the word of God, as we read it, as we see it, then believe it. And though it should seem to contradict another truth, yet never give it up. Yet never conclude that God is contradicting himself. No, he is God. He does not contradict himself, even though it seems to us that one truth is contradicting to another. Yet hold it! Hold it fast. If it is the word of God, then continue to hold it and pray. If you really want to understand it deeper and fuller, pray and wait till clearer light shall reveal to you all this truth, stood in a wonderful harmony and consistency, which at the first you may not understand it, may not perceive it, but hold to it. Don't give it up. Don't conclude that there is error in the Word of God. No. And therefore, in doctrine, buy the truth. Then next we are to buy what truth? Experimental truth. And by this I mean truth that is within the heart. Truth experience. See that it is real truth in your heart. Make sure. There is only one true new birth. There may be many counterfeits of it. And in this respect, buy that truth. Let us beware. And I want to sound this out to all of us and to myself too. Let us beware. There can be an experience which has a faith in it that was never attended with repentance. Strange, isn't it? You may think, oh, the person is a believer because of this, or the ways the person behaves, but deep down inside, there is no true repentance in his or her heart. If you have never felt yourself a sinner, if you have never trembled under the law of God, never felt that you deserve to be cast into hell, if you ever have the slightest thought like, well, yes, the preacher says that I'm a sinner, but I'm not too bad. True, I'm a sinner, but you know, like we Chinese, we have a saying in our dialect, I did not kill someone or burn someone's house, 殺人放火, therefore, I'm not a sinner. I'm not too bad, you know. If you ever have the slightest of such thought that you are of some good, I'm afraid your faith is a mere presumption and not the faith that looks to Christ. Beware of an experience that lies in the talk and not in experimental faith. May the Lord in His mercy burn this truth into our souls by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And in this respect, by the truth. Alas, we see nowadays, is it not true? Many professors, a great deal of life without struggle. And this is another aspect. When I say struggle, what do I mean? I mean, if you are a Christian, truly born again and regenerate by the Holy Spirit. Certainly, yes, it may not be constantly, but certainly you have gone through or from time to time you find this struggle, this battle going on within you. Sin, this old corruption in you, contesting with grace, and grace will seek to reign over this sinful corruption. Do you have that? And if it is, you have that struggle, that spiritual battle, so to speak, good sign. So therefore, be afraid. Be afraid and quickly reflect. Why is my life as a Christian so smooth sailing? All my non-Christian friends, they all love me so much and always wants me to be in their company. Be careful. There must be striving within. Or we may well be aware of such an experience. Do not conclude that you are a Christian because you thought you were one 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, day by day, let us, brethren, bring ourselves to the touchstone. He that cannot bear examination of his own heart will have to bear condemnation. He that dare not search himself will find that God will search him or her out. He that is afraid to look himself in the face had need to be afraid to look at the judge in the face when the great white throne shall be placed and all the world, everyone in the world, summoned to the judgment. Confidence is quite consistent with self-examination. I repeat, confidence is quite consistent with self-examination, and I pray that all of us in this thing, by the truth, seek to have a faith that will bear the test. A true faith, a living faith, a faith that moves your soul, a faith that stirs you up, a deep-rooted faith, a faith which is supernatural, or the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. For the time will come when, as the Lord lives, nothing short of this, brethren, will stand you and I in good stead. And then there is another truth that we need to bind beside doctrinal truth, practical. Now we come to the third one, and that is practical truth. By practical truth, I mean our action, our conduct, being consistent, and those of a right and straightforward course. You profess to be a Christian, you say that you are one, then be one. You say that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then follow after Him. You know it is right to be a man of integrity and uprightness, be so. Be one. Let dirty tricks in business or in your workplace, let no meanness, let none of those white lies. You know, we like to say that, and we are very super expert in this. No? Oh, it's just a white lie. You see, we just add one word, it, white lie. Is there such a thing called white lie and black lie or red lie or whatever lie? There's only one lie, isn't it? But you see, we humans are in our fallen state. We can come up with all kinds of ways and excuses and reasons to justify, oh, come on, it's just a white lie. You know, and I do it for what? For the sake of the person. Amazing. Amazing. So none of this, even the white lies, ever come across your path except to be reprobated and abhorred. Walk straight forward. Learn not to tag or U-turn. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into temptation. James 5 verse 12. There is a truthful way of doing the commonest things or commonest action, and there is a false way or false method of doing every self-same thing. And so therefore in this respect, by the truth, as to the straightforwardness, the clean, sharp transparency of your moral character and of your Christian conduct, let us do that. But not to forget, seek the Lord's help to do that. In and of ourselves, we are not able to. Never seems to be what you are not. Never do what you are ashamed of. It matters not who sees it. Think always and pray that the Lord will give you this consciousness, this sensitivity, so to speak, that God sees. Even though no one else sees, God sees. You know, I read about this from a Indian, this well-known Indian Christian preacher and a theologian. He has a friend, a Dutch person, a Dutch Christian, and this Dutch person invited him to Holland. And so he discussed some of this theological subject with these Christians, and then this Christian one day, a Dutch man, asked this Indian pastor, would you like to follow me? I'm going down to the farm there to buy a bottle of milk. And so this Indian pastor said, yeah, why not, let's go. And then he saw that this Dutch Christian reached the store, reached the farm, the farmer set up, and all the milk bottles are all put down there, filled up, but no one is there. And then he was thinking, well, then, and then he saw his Dutch friend take the bottle that he needed or wanted to buy, and then he took the money,
go to the box, put it there, and then he walked. And then he said, go, let's leave. And so this Indian part, what do you mean? No one there, and then you just, yeah. And then he said, this doesn't happen in India. And then he said, why? How come? Does not the owner of this, the seller of this milk, afraid that someone will just take? No. And then the Dutch Christian explained to him, because we know that God is watching. God is watching. And then this Indian pastor said, in India, if we are in such a situation, we not only take all the water bottle, I mean all the milk bottles, we even take the cow. You see, brethren, that's why the Western nation in days gone by, in Europe, this country, they are influenced by the gospel. And that is why I was shocked when I first came to a Western country many years ago, and I discovered that you all have, out of this store, on the streets, outside the store, where you put this box there, and all the newspapers are inside. Or whoever wants to buy the newspaper, you just go there, open it, take whatever copies that you want to purchase, and put in the coins, and then you go. You don't do that in Singapore. The whole stack of newspaper will be gone, and the person will take it and sell it. You see? But of course, these are all gone now. This country and this whole of the Western, to me, is gone. So you see here, my dear friends, as Christians, only do that which you would have done if all eyes were fixed on you. Or you are observed, even your most cruel critics. Never stifle your conscience. Carry out your conviction. If the sky fall, stand upright. What God's Holy Spirit prompts you to do, do it. What you find in this book, the Bible, carry it out. God will help you to do so. Stand in your place and do right, no matter what. And in this respect, fulfill the text by the truth. Now next, I want to very quickly, I don't want to take too much of your time. We want to look at how this commodity is to be obtained. How do I receive or obtain this truth? How do I buy it, so to speak? Now, and here I want to make a point. I trust that you have not misunderstood, particularly those of you who have been Christian for a long time. This text does not mean that Christ, that you can purchase Christ and the gospel and the salvation, which are all included in this truth, that it can be bought. You cannot. You cannot. So what does it mean when Solomon tells us to buy the truth? You can in some sense and you cannot. I just want to explain this. They can in the sense of the text. They cannot in another sense. You cannot purchase salvation, merit, right, your self-righteousness cannot win it. Christ's price is without money and without price. The prophet Isaiah states it very clearly. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 55 verse 1. So salvation is free, we know, of free grace, that's we know. And it's the very necessity of its nature. It is without cost. You cannot merit it. You cannot earn it. It is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. But he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. Romans 9:15. So then, what does the text mean? To buy? Well, it means this. First, to be saved, to obtain salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, give up! It means give up. Just as when you purchase something, right? You take your money and you, in that sense, give it up. In exchange for that, you are purchasing it. So, it's giving up. Giving up that must be given up in order to receive the free salvation. Every sin must be given up. No man shall go to heaven while he lives in sin and favors anyone's sin. A man may sin, yes, and be saved, but he cannot love sin and be saved. I repeat this again. A man, and by that I mean a Christian. A man may sin, and we Christian, as you know, will sin. We continue to sin. We may sin, but be saved. But no one, no sinner, repentant sinner, he cannot love sin and be saved. Give up. Give up, for example, your drunkenness, if that be your sin. Give up your unchaste living, if that be your sin. Conquer that angry temper, if that be your sin. Conquer that love of greed, whatever that is, to keep you from Christ. Buy the truth means give up. You will not obtain salvation then. That it must be given up. Let it not stand in your way. Let nothing stand in your way. Give it up. And since you cannot have your sin and have Christ also, get a bill of divorce from your sin and take holiness and take the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must also give up all your self-righteousness. Give up it at all costs. Risk all to hold to the truth. Some are trusting in this, in that, trusting in that person, trusting in whatever. Give them all up. They are all lies. It is not acceptable to God. There is no reliance to be placed on anything that you can do. Come and trust what Christ has done, and if it be, as it is certainly is, needful for you to give up your own righteousness to win Christ and be found in Him, if that be the case, then do it. And in this sense, with all that you have, you may buy Christ. That is what it meant to buy in this sense. Count all things but dross, that you may be a true man, a true woman, a true boy or a true girl, a godly man, a godly woman, a holy man, a Christly man, and make sacrifice of all, and thus by the truth. So then, brethren and friends, delay no further. God's word is today. If ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 4:7. If you wait, you will wait forever. God grant you that you may buy the truth now. For the text is in the present tense. Therefore, the command here or the injunction here is buy now. One quick word for those who may ask, where can I buy it? Now you have told me the way to obtain it. Where? And the answer, you all know. Where else can you buy gospel truth? There is no place where truth can be found in its power and it is life, except in the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus to John, his servant, is this: I counsel thee, buy of me. Who is this me? Christ. Revelation 3:18. Truth is in Christ's blood. It will wash away what is false in you. Truth is in His Holy Spirit. It will eradicate what is dark and vile in you. His love, Christ's love, will make you true by conforming you to Himself. Paul says, form Christ in us. That should be our prayer. Come to Christ. Bring nothing with you, my friends. Come as you are. empty-handed, penniless, and poor. The milk and honey are all with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the banquet giver and the banquet too. To trust Him is to live. To look to Him alone for salvation is to find salvation in that look. I want to close with a warning, as the last part of the text implies. Sell it not. Sell it not. You can sell everything else, but never sell this truth. Never sell. Never sell your Lord Jesus Christ. Sell it not. You have made a good bargain when you bought it. Sell it not. It has not disappointed you. It has satisfied you. Is it not true? And make you blessed. Therefore, sell it not. You cannot buy it like again. You can never find a better. Sell it not. You are a lost man, lost woman, lost boy or lost girl if you part with it. Remember Esau, the morsel of meat, and how he would again have found his birthright if he could. Remember Demas. Remember Judas, the son of perdition. You are lost without it. It is your life. The Lord bless you, dear friends, and keep you in this new week. And when the good shepherd shall appear, may you have the mark of truth burn into you, upon you, and appear with Christ in glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask once again for thy help. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts this warning. O Heavenly Father, give us the grace and the strength. To those of us who have received this truth, we give thanks to thee and praise thee. Only give us the strength and your grace and your wisdom that we will not sell it. That we will not sell our Lord Jesus Christ. That we will not be traitor of the gospel of Christ. O Heavenly Father, only give us the grace and the strength that we need. For indeed, Lord, we confess that we are weak. And oftentimes we are drawn away so easily and so quickly. O Father, we pray that you will help us in this new week, that we will be, that we may be, by thy Spirit, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord and in walking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So help us, we pray. Amen.